Good morning, everybody. How are you? Are there any community development people or former community development people in the room? Good. Yay. You know, Mary said at the beginning that these two sectors, community development and the health sector, were really joined at birth, and then somehow we toddled off away from one another. And I think a lot of what we are trying to do is toddle back toward one another. And I'm really happy that that there are some community developers in the room. I was walking downstairs as I was getting my coffee because it's about 2 hours earlier for me, so I really needed that coffee. And I was looking around at all the faces downstairs, and I thought, these people look like my people. This is so many friends for me to make in such a short time. So I'm super happy to be with you. And I'm going to talk to you from the viewpoint of somebody that really likes to get their hands dirty. I'm a practitioner. I got boots on the ground. I love to get projects done. And my organization now is working in 30 states across the United States in a variety of sectors that we now understand are the social, or part of the social determinants of health. So we invest in housing, in early learning and child development, in education, in health, in transit-oriented development. We see green investing as an overlay over everything we've done, and I think we've done about $300 million of investing in LEED and other kinds of green projects. And on top of that, we try to take the lessons from our boots on the ground and lift them up to the policy arena so that we can create large-scale systems change. And sort of that's the model of community development and community development organizations like mine. We've served doing that for the past 30 years. We've served about a million seven people in all of the places that we work. And we actually have gone to the literature and found the best social science research that exists today and figured out how to take the dollars that we've invested in these community projects and monetize them so that we understand the economic value from a social and from a family point of view. And we estimate that we've created about $30 billion in family and societal benefits. Now, when I go onto the Hill and I'm able to say, our organization on a sustainable basis has invested $1.5 billion, and that's returned to society about $30 billion, I actually get a lot of attention on both sides of the aisle. This is a bipartisan message that's appealing to literally everyone in Congress, and it's really been very, very rewarding to see how well the work that we are doing has been embraced. But those of us in community development haven't always understood just how closely linked we are to those of you who are working in the health industry. And that has started to change over the past couple of years, as David and Doug were saying. And for me, one of the great sort of one of the great epiphany moments came when David Erickson and I were riding in a small car in cramped conditions going across the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. And David sort of visually put up on the windshield heat maps, much like the ones that Mary had up on the screen earlier this morning. And he described to me the heat maps of Los Angeles County, where the hot spots of poor health and the hot spots of poverty were. And what David said to me is, they are exactly the same places. And even more than that, you can go to any city. And I've tried this now as I speak in different places. I pull up heat maps, and they are the same no matter where you go. What that said to me was that those of you working in the area of health and public health and those of us working in the area of community development, we're working in the same places. We just don't know each other. And I said to David, well, it's about time we go out on a blind date. So I wanted to take my time with you and just give you a couple of real-world examples of the kinds of work that community developers do. One of them, see if I can make this work. So one of the eureka moments that I had in understanding the value of health was when I went to visit this project. This is the Booth Memorial Child Development Project in Oakland. We put an $80,000 grant to improve the physical environment of that, and we thought what we were doing was investing in child care. So the grant allowed the center to rip up an old carpet and install new flooring. They put in a healthy garden for the kids to learn about the tactile sensation of touching fruit, and they also used it to create healthy lunches. They installed toddler-level sinks so that kids could toddle over and wash their own hands, and the teachers didn't have to lift them up and bend over. What happened instantly was that the attendance in that center went from about 60% to about 90%. And why did that happen? It kind of astonished us. Why did that happen? Well, it happened because when they got that old carpet up off the floor, it turned out they got rid of a whole bunch of asthma triggers. And the kids were no longer in the emergency room because they were having asthma attacks, and they were actually able to come to the child care center. Their disability claims went down dramatically. And why was that? Well, it was because the teachers didn't have to actually pick the kids up and lift and bend over so that they could wash their hands at the sinks. And on top of that, that meant more kids were getting their hands washed more frequently. So those kinds of improvements actually made a huge financial difference to the center. Their revenue went up, they became more stable, their disability claims went down, so they were financially stronger, the kids were healthier, there were a huge number of avoided medical costs, and it was just a complete win-win and eye-opener for those of us in community development. Now, my childcare staff knew all about this, but they didn't understand how to value it, because what they were really thinking about was childcare. But I had been spending time with David and Doug, and I suddenly, the light bulb went off for me, and I said, this is a health investment. We're in the health business, and I had no idea that that was the case. So that was an exciting eye-opener, and it's the kind of thing that I think is a signal event for what we can be doing together in this work as we go forward. And I think it's a signal event for why we can be so much better together than we are apart. The next project that I wanted to describe is the one that Doug has already mentioned. It's the Refresh Project here in New Orleans. This is a healthy food hub. It includes Tulane University Medical School. It includes Whole Foods. It includes Liberty's Kitchen, which is a youth training program. Provides jobs for kids, it provides training, job training in culinary arts, and on top of that, they're actually making thousands of healthy food lunches that get distributed throughout the New Orleans public school system. It's a huge, a wonderful example of cross-silo work. My organization, the Low Income Investment Fund, invested $1.5 million in this. I think it's an $18 million project. Our portion of it was $1.5 million. So why is such a small amount important to a very large project that included Goldman Sachs and others? Well, the reason was that each of the investors, Goldman, the City of New Orleans, several foundations, each of them had different terms, they had different requirements, different needs. Their capital came in a crazy quilt of requirements and needs. And they really needed an organization like mine that was willing to come in and, as I said last night, go down to the bottom of the dog pile. We were at the bottom of the capital stack. We had all the other dogs piling on top of us. And when you're willing to do that and take that kind of risk position, what that enables is it helps to smooth off the rough edges and the conflicting terms of the other sources. And so we, by taking the kind of position that we did, we helped the other capital sources give a little bit, come together. I call that the glue capital. And that's the kind of investment that we're making in all of the places that we work, all around the country, every single day. The last thing I wanted to mention is that we're involved. We're trying very hard. We really got the bug on this health thing after looking at the heat maps and after figuring out that we've been in the health business. We just didn't know it, and there's all kinds of friends that we need to meet and work with out there. We got the bug on this, and have been trying as best we can to innovate and to put the pieces together and create the models that will be successful. And one of them that I'm so excited about, it's on the cutting edge, is a partnership that LIF and Mercy Housing are developing. This is Mercy Housing is one of the best, most excellent, high-performing affordable housing and housing services providers in the United States. And what this model does is it uses capital, it uses revenue from the LA County Department of Health Services to rapidly build supportive housing for high cost and vulnerable populations. And I think Cindy Holler is in the room. She's waving her hand back there. Cindy from Mercy Housing, she's in Chicago, has been a colleague for many years. We are putting the pieces of this together. I like to say we're building the plane as we fly it, and I think we're going to keep that plane aloft, and I hope it's going to come in for a good landing. But what we're doing with this is really a triple header, because what we're doing with this is we're rapidly expanding the supply of supportive housing, and we're saving, we expect to save the County of Los Angeles about $30,000 per person per year in this model, and we're producing better health outcomes. And what's unique about this model is that it doesn't depend upon scarce and hard-to-get housing subsidies. We're able to do this really on a market footing. And that is super exciting because any of you that have been in the housing business know that the subsidies have to be and tend to be very deep. They're hotly competed over. You get your number and you wait in line for 3 years before the subsidy comes through. This is a different way of doing that development in partnership with the local Department of Health Services department, and it will ultimately save that department money and rapidly build this kind of housing and result in better health outcomes for vulnerable populations. We intend to raise about $50 million to pilot it, yeah. And that will support about 500 units. And then it will be this is going to be studied and evaluated very, very carefully. If it works, if it proves out as we've modeled it and believe that it will work, we hope, our vision is that we will be able to take this to other geographies where health payers like managed care organizations that are looking for outcomes-based solutions for vulnerable populations can adopt this, can literally purchase and invest in this model, and then yield the kinds of outcomes that we expect to see. And I do want to publicly thank Mitch Katz and Mark Trotz with the LA County DHS that have had such visionary leadership in allowing these kinds of green shoots and innovation examples to flourish in their area. But I really have to be honest with all of you. Health and the healthcare system is really new to me. I mean, new to those of us in community development. And sometimes I feel like I'm listening to Greek, and I bet you feel that way when you're listening to me. It's you say CDC, and you think of a place in Atlanta. I say CDC, and I think of Cindy Holler in the back of the room. But I have all kinds of confidence that with good nature, with a good heart, and by sticking with it and plugging away, we're going to collectively figure out how to cross the finish line, and we will be building healthy futures for kids and families all over this country. So thank you all so much.